Hare Krishna. So I am feeling like a glowworm, especially when I saw senior devotees here who are like the sons. But somehow I was chosen to give this class. So I will attempt to do my best to please Guru, Guru Parampara, the lords and the devotees. So this verse, 430, is actually connected to the verse before, which is, taking these pure devotees with me, this is the Lord who says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. Yeah? And then the next verse, the verse before the one I read out, the influence of the Yogmaya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their parama. And then it continues, neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. So Lord Krishna is saying this. So this chapter is entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Lord's Appearance. So why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear? He appears, as per Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, to take the position, to taste the position of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the object, Krishna is the subject of loving the affairs. So Krishna wants to know how the object feels about the subject. Because it is foreign to him, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions, he wants to know that. And therefore he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience that. Second reason Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives is to understand Krishna being the reservoir of all pleasure and pleasure potencies. He wants to experience himself, how he is appearing to his devotee. So he wants to understand the mentality in which Srimati Radharani enjoys him. So he wants to know about himself, but through Srimati Radharani's eyes. And the third reason Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions is to taste the bliss himself that Srimati Radharani is undergoing. Because Krishna realizes that even though he is the potent and Radharani is the potency, the Ladini Shakti, still she enjoys millions and millions of times of more happiness than him in their loving affairs. And he just can't comprehend that. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. As Radha and Krishna, to experience this bliss that she is enjoying millions of times more than me. Like that. So through these pastimes, Krishna also attracts us. Because Krishna's, one of his potencies is to be subordinate to those who worship him. So Krishna is Madan Mohan, Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. She even attracts him, who is more beautiful than millions of Cupids combined. But why does she attract him? Not out of her pride and power. No, she gives that up to surrender to him. And that mood conquers Lord Sri Krishna, who then, you know, reciprocates by making her, himself, subservient to her. Like that. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to show us that it is available to all devotees. So we can see that in earlier texts of this chapter, it is discussed that what happens in Vaikuntha Loka. There the service is carried on in reverence. Yeah, no one can sit with Lord Vishnu on the same seat as him. They have to be always below him. Yeah? They have to speak with reverence to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu relishes it because Lord Sri Krishna expands as a plenary portion just to reciprocate in this way with his devotees in the Vaikuntha Loka. Krishna is unlimited. He has unlimited desires and he enjoys unlimitedly. And therefore he creates unlimited living entities in so many universes and planetary systems to reciprocate the love that he has. Like that. And then through his potency, yeah, Krishna has the ability to reciprocate with each and every one of us in that unique way that we desire. So each one of us is unique. We are looking for love, but in different ways. And Krishna is the only fountainhead of love who can fulfill that desire. And therefore we see in the material world, there is a lot of frustration. Because love is a basic necessity of life. And if that is not fulfilled, then man looks for it in perverted ways. And that's what Srila Prabhupada describes. That same Ladini potency, which is the highest spiritual pleasure in the material world, is converted into lust in the material world. Krishna has chiefly three potencies, Sandini, Samvit and Ladini. So under the Sandini potency, that is the transcendental potency under which his eternal pastimes take place and also ours in the material world. In the spiritual world, every soul realizes that they are eternal. Therefore, they are always, and they know the object of their love as well, Krishna. So they are always serving Krishna. And in that, they become desire trees. They want for nothing. The trees in the spiritual world, it is explained, they give out all types of the fruits all round the year at any time. Mango or apple or guava, anything is possible. Why? Because they are serving Krishna, that potency which flows from Krishna flows unrestrictedly. And therefore each and every living entity in the spiritual world has the potency to create as per their desire. Like that. But that potency comes from Krishna. They never desire to be, to dominate the Lord. Their desire is always to serve the Lord. Atmendriya Prithi Boli Taranam Prem. That when we, all the sacrifices, all the yajnas that everyone performs, everyone undertakes hardships. But as long as it is directed towards the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that is prema. Yeah? But when that same loving potency is directed towards our own enjoyment, that is kama. And that is in the material world. Every living entity is trying to enjoy himself. And therefore, despite creating an orderly civilization, you know, it looks very orderly. People who are going to Harvard, Cambridge, this, that, they are, you know, they are, have top positions. They are the thinkers, the politicians. They might be uneducated, but they rely on these people to help them. And these guys are very learned and they are organizing all this. But because they don't know the secret, they are failing time and again. Financial crisis, environmental crisis, social crisis, family crisis, health crisis, you name it, it is there in the world today. We have to just open the newspapers. Everything is perverted. Because there's no connection to Krishna. In the spiritual world, because the Surabhi cows have connection to Krishna, they give milk all the day, all day long, and the best milk. In fact, there are Kamdhenu cows which give anything and everything to any extent. We recite, we know even through Srimad Bhagavatam that Jamadagni, Lord Parshuram's father, he had a Kamdhenu cow, which Kartavira Arjun wanted to steal, and he did steal. Why? Because the king felt himself a beggar. he went with his whole army, so many Akshohinis of army, to Jamakdagni's ashram. A sage who had nothing was living in tatters, you know, seemingly. But he was happy in that because he had the greater happiness of love of God. And the Lord had also bestowed a Kamdhenu cow to him. And the king was baffled. He thought, you know, even for me to feed my army and myself, it takes so much. But he is providing everything that we need, whatever we can think of and imagine and beyond, and in the quantities that we can't think of. So I want this cow and I will snatch it away from him. Of course, that's why Parshuram then decides to finish the Kshatriyas 21 times, the Kshatriya race, because he sees that the Kshatriyas, instead of respecting the Brahmanas, they're trying to snatch away the Brahmanas' properties. Like that. So Parshuram finishes off. So, coming back to the subject, in the spiritual world, everything is perfect because of their connection to Krishna. Here it is not there. So, in the spiritual world, Krishna says in the earlier text of this chapter itself, he says that when a devotee serves me with reverence, yeah, I don't feel that love for him. It is weakened. But when that same devotee takes the place of my mother, my servant, my brother, my conjugal lover, then I become subservient to that devotee's love. Because I enjoy that more. Like that. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give us this, that in these five transcendental rasas, Shantaras, you know, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras, these are available. You can build up a relationship with God, and the Lord will reciprocate accordingly in whatever consciousness you want to reciprocate with Him. Like that. So, Krishna actually enjoys these relationships. And we can see here that why is this important? You know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we just think, if He hadn't come, what would be the state? Like today, you know, I used to go to Hindu temples and it was difficult to even get a copy of Bhagavad Gita there. Everyone had their own deity, their own puja, this, that and the other. And they said, you just give money and do the puja. But finding copy of Bhagavad Gita was very difficult. What to speak of finding Bhagavad Gita as it is? Because their explanations where it was found was very different as well. And therefore we can see that the Mayavad philosophy has destroyed the whole religion of Hinduism. Today, everyone is brought up thinking, yes, you know, I do my worship and this thing, and then I live my life as it is. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is a way of life. And unless that way of life is imbibed, you know, we can't experience the bliss. Of course, we experience the enjoyment that is there. So, where was I? Connecting to, yeah, Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, like that. Even though I found that every Christian church has a Bible. And they would first preach from the Bible. And every Islamic mosque, they have their copy of Quran. I was shocked by this. But when I came to Krishna consciousness, that time I understood. So the importance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, he has given us knowledge about Radha and Krishna. Even the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, who worship Lord Krishna as Bal Gopal, they remove Radharani from the picture. They don't know about Radharani. This is new to them. This is due to most Indians in India who are coming from that culture. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sri Sri Sita ji, Ram ji, Lakshman ji, Hanuman ji ki jai. Sri Sri Gornitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, even in the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, there is no knowledge of Radha and Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and through, you know, his leelas and through works of Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami and the other Vaishnava Acharyas, he gives all the information to everyone who is interested, starting from the beginning. Very simple. Like Prabhupada used to say, just worship, you know, Radha and Krishna in the temple. Come here and worship. You don't have to do anything. Just say, you know, you look so beautiful. Appreciate the dress. I love you. You look beautiful. That's it. Let it start from there. Made it so simple. To the acharyas, who are Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, who are on Vishuddha Sattva platform. And they give us a taste of what it would be like to enjoy the transcendental mellows. We can see whenever ISKCON gurus come, why is everyone running after them? Because when we sit even near them, our mind steadies. The anxieties vanish away. And for that moment of time, we feel everything is perfect. Because Kurvanti Tirthani, Yudhishthir Maharaj says to Vidura, that devotees like you, they carry the Lord within their hearts. And therefore, wherever they go, that place becomes a pilgrimage. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, he is giving us a taste of that. Otherwise, it is so difficult to find that these devotees who don't want anything from us, yet you just sit beside them and you feel such sense of bliss. Yeah, when they speak, your heart, you know, you feel so satiated in the heart, at least to some degree. Because their voice comes by touching, they speak from the scriptures, their voice comes as a sacrifice to Krishna. So he touches their heart. So they are always in that mode of serving Krishna. So this would all have been unavailable had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not come. And we have to just, I mean, we shouldn't experiment. We have got it here. But even if we look at other places where Vaishnavism is followed, we can see that there is a lot to be wanted by the people following that. Recently we went to South India, seat of Ramanuja Sampradaya. You know, they are running temples where we went. Where we went because Radhanath Swami Maharaj conducted the yatra, and he said, we are going there because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there. That is the only reason. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he goes anywhere, he imbues that place and everything around with his potency and mercy. And we are trying to access that mercy and feel that potency. So we went to all these places and they are so happy by experiencing this process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Last time I was there in South India, the person who was 56th in line to Ramanujacharya, the head of their sampradaya, you know, what he mentioned is, we feel like joining you. Your process is so blissful. These were his words. Come back again next time with double the numbers. At that time there were 2,000 devotees. This time there were 5,000. And they were, you know, they were so happy. They all came, several of them, and you know, they paid obeisances to Maharaj, they glorified him, that line, for bringing devotees, for bringing the process to them. Because they hadn't experienced this, even in their sampradayas. Because what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us easily, chanting, dancing and feasting, which is easy to even anyone who can just start. But that is just the beginning to one who wants to discover endless, you know, happiness, love, peace, whatever it is. And it is every day, Srila Prabhupada has put it into the process, the morning program, you know, whatever happens throughout the day, worshipping Radha Krishna 6 times, eating Mahaprasad, you know, it's all there, going on throughout. We have to just access. That mercy is so, you know, we have to be so grateful for that because it is not easily available like that. So that shows the importance. And then, you know, I'll just close by, you know, saying something about one of the disciples of Ramanujacharya, who, you know, in the Sri Sampradaya, which is also an authorized Sampradaya. His life is really, you know, unique. And the way he served his spiritual master. So his name is Kuresh, and he was known as Kuresh because he was literally the controller of this town called Kura. So Kur-Isha, Kuresh, he was known. Very wealthy, and his wife was under, very beautiful, and very devoted to serving the Lord, like that. So they were carrying on their lives, and Kuresh used to donate whatever people wanted, because he had so much, and he had complete faith that if I give what people want to further their religious duties, then the Lord would supply me unlimited, like that. So much so that even Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, wanted to have his darshan. He was that generous, like that. So one day, his spiritual master Ramanujacharya, he said that now I think you should join in close service to the deities now. So Kuresh then moved near Sri Rangam, which is the seat of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and started worshipping their lordship, Lord Rangana, like that. So he started worshipping there, and he was following everything, his spiritual master, very strictly. He had given up everything. He was living there in a small house in Sri Rangam, which we saw. And one day what happened is, as it is, you know, envy is everywhere in the material world. It also increases the determination of the devotees. So there was a Chola king who ruled the southern kingdoms. And he was a Shaivite. And one of, unfortunately, Kuresh's disciples, he went to the Chola king and he told him that as long as Ramanujacharya is there, your Shaivism will never prosper. You have to kill him. So this Chola king, he thought of killing Ramanujacharya. So he sent his army to bring Ramanujacharya. So when the army came, Kuresh understood what was happening. So he told his spiritual master, Ramanujacharya, he convinced him that give me this, you know, opportunity to serve you. Yeah, this is all I ask. Because I know what is going to happen. That king is going to kill you. And I don't want, you know, if you are gone, the whole sampradaya will be lost. Because we are not strong enough. So please let me go. It was not the days of photographs and everything. So, you know, they didn't know who was who. So then they exchanged their clothes. And Kuresh went to the Chola king as Ramanujacharya. With Kuresh, Mahapurna, who was another senior disciple of whom Ramanujacharya had taken shelter, he said, I will also go, even though he was 86 years old. So because they couldn't stop him and he was senior, he also went. So this Chola king, he had a debate, as was in the olden days, an open debate, where everyone, all the subjects could see. And then the debate was, which one is greater, Shaivism or Vaishnavism? So Kuresh and Mahapurna, they defeated all the pandits that the kings brought. And the king was very frustrated. So he said, where right doesn't work, use the might. And he told Kuresh and Mahapurna, he said, if you don't write a letter saying that whatever we have argued, that's okay, but Shaivism is greater than Vaishnavism, then I will have, you know, I will take out your eyes by putting, you know, hot rods into them, like that. And they said, you know, whatever the Lord wants, we won't sign this, because that would be, you know, that would defeat the purpose. So the king, you know, he followed whatever he said. He took them into he had people take them into the jungle. They put hot rod into the eyes. And then Mahapurna, who was old enough, he couldn't take it. Kuresh told him that we'll go back, we'll get back, you know, I'll help you. He said, no, you know, let me die in your lap. So Mahapurna dies in his lap there, out of, you know, trying to come to terms, thinking of his spiritual master Ramanujacharya. And then Kuresh, somehow with the help of some people in the jungle, he escapes. He escapes and he comes to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya, you know, he can't, the sacrifice that he has given, he can't even speak about it. So Ramanujacharya then tells him, you have one instruction. In South India, there's another temple called Varadraj in Kanchipuram, which is again a seat of Vaishnava Sampradaya. Varadaraj is famous for giving benedictions. He is Lord Krishna, but Varadaraj means the king of benedictions. He just gives all sorts of benedictions. So Ramanujacharya specifically tells him that you go and ask Varadaraj for your eyes. So Kuresh starts serving Varadaraj. And he sings daily beautiful poetry that Varadaraj appreciates like anything. One day Varadaraj tells him, please ask something that you want. I'm ready to give you anything, including your eyes. Because Varadaraj knows Ramanujacharya wants him to get his eyes like that. So Kuresh says to Varadaraj, Lord, if you want to give me anything, give me one thing. That Chola king who arranged, you know, for our eyes to be, you know, taken out by the hot rods, you know, you forgive him and he may attain Vaikuntha. So Varadaraj says, are you okay? So Kuresh says, yes, that is what I want. So he says, okay, if it is your will, it is done. So that day, Ramanujacharya meets Kuresh. He said, what did you ask for? He says, I asked for this. He says, what are you doing? You know, why should you be doing this? Just ask for your eyes. So he says, okay, it's your instruction, so I will see what happens. He goes to Varadaraj, serves him again. Varadaraj again asks him, now tell me, what do you want? You know, I'm ready to give you anything, including your eyes. So Kuresh says, you know, that devotee who betrayed me, my devotee, who went to the Chola king and gave him all the information, you know, you give him forgiveness and see that he goes to Vaikuntha Loka. So then Varadaraj says, there's no use arguing with you because it seems you have made up your mind. Okay, that is granted, like that. So Ramanujacharya now can't take it, you know. He says, what is happening? You know, I'm instructing you as your guru to ask for your eyes, you know. Please do that this time. So again, Kuresh starts serving him. And then Varadaraj asks him the third time, what do you want? And this time, Kuresh says that, oh Lord, give me that vision. Yeah, where I'll always remember you and see you and never forget you, which is the essence of all Vaishnavism, to always remember Krishna and never forget him like that. That I can always see you. Varadaraj immediately says, granted, before he can change his mind. So then that day, you know, Ramanujacharya comes and they meet and he sees his eyes are the same. And he says, did you ask Varadaraj for your eyes? He says, yes, but I asked him for a vision that I can always see him. But he says, I can't see him. I can't see that. But he says, can you describe what Lord Varadaraj is wearing? And Kuresh described exactly what Varadaraj was wearing. So Ramanujacharya was convinced that he has got such a vision that is beyond the mundane material vision. He can see the Lord permanently at every moment, which is what is the, you know, aim of all Vaishnavism. Prem Pumartha Mahan, to see the Lord and build up a loving relationship with him. So, like that. That story, I thought, I mean, it's history. It's not a story. It's history. Was most fascinating. And it shows the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. And what disciples have gone to what lengths to please their spiritual master. And then, you know, they've also achieved direct relationship with the Lord. And this Kuresh, you know, his son, Parashar, was made the next Acharya by Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya nominated him and that line is still continuing and today Kuresh is one of the his great grandsons, so many times removed from him, sits on the board of this committee which runs the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya. He also spoke. He came, offered obeisances and spoke about that. So it was very fascinating going to these places to meet devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, don't go to Tirtha just to put few coins and ask for something, to hear from devotees. So all these devotees who spoke, it was so nice to hear from them. Really beautiful. It's now 8:30. Maybe there's 1 minute. If there's any question, can I take a question? One question, then I'll take that. Otherwise, we can finish the class.